Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of God our Father. Amen. So how about you guys? Do you guys worry about anything? Maybe a better question is, anybody not worry about anything? Not too many non-worriers. It's something in our culture that's just kind of inbred into us for whatever reason, and the video shows that, I think, in spades. It's been kind of a year, hasn't it? I wanted to kind of begin this by sharing some headlines that I came across just over the last 6 weeks. National emergency declared. U.S. general won't say winning an anti-ISIS fight. Governments urged to stockpile antibiotics for future flu pandemic. Hate crimes on the rise, suicides at all-time high. Fed collects record individual taxes, average refunds fall. National debt is still the biggest threat to our national security, and it's getting worse. Amazon to pay $0 in taxes. Deaths from Mexican oxy pill hitting Arizona hard. North Korea produced fuel for 7 more nuclear bombs. China eroding U.S. military advantage in Asia. Anti-Semitism is on the rise in America. Hate crimes, not really hate crimes in California when they're against the church. Again, anger in workplace they now say is beneficial. Secret hashtags help teens share dangerous habits. Borrowers interest rates continue to rise, but savers rates lag far behind. Amid chronic homelessness, Northwest backs 10 cities. Coincidentally, LA overrun by homeless. Disney World installs metal detectors, bans costumes, toy guns for first time. Students prefer pot to cigarettes for first time. 9 in 10 cancers due to lifestyle. Bernie says, let felons vote. Biden says, not sorry. Trump says he was innocent. Showdown of the world powers in Venezuela, and on the list goes. So I'll just ask, how have you been dealing with all this? It's hard, isn't it? As the world comes at you, and then you add to all the stuff that your life is bringing at you, and the relational struggles, and the relational worries, and the money worries, and the job worries, and the retirement worries. Anybody still not worried about anything? I ask that because I just think one of the realities of life is that this is an area that we struggle in. And I ask that because I want to talk to you today about how do we stop worrying and start living again? I think that's got to be one of the biggest questions in our society, especially in the middle of this series that we're doing on being overwhelmed. How do we actually stop worrying? I think it's a great question. And it's not just the advice that our president gave us once upon a time, but it's also the advice and even the command that God gives to us as well. Because God too says, I don't want you to worry about all this stuff all the time. Worry is not for me. It's not good for you. It doesn't work. I don't want you worrying about all these things. But it's been hard, isn't it? Things come up and we're just not prepared for them. And so what do? We worry. We get sick, go to the doctors, and they find something, and we start worrying again. We hear of layoffs, and we immediately think that maybe we're next. The stock market falls, and we begin to worry about the future. It seems like whenever something happens, whatever reason, we start thinking the worst. You hear about a car accident on the freeway, and you wonder if it's somebody you knew, or your daughter comes home from a date with a smile that's just a little bit too big, and your imagination starts going into overdrive. You open up the mail and you see your favorite three initials, IRS, and you just start to think, what if? And we make justifications for our worry, don't we? We say things like, no, I'm not worried, I'm just concerned, which is another way of just saying that we've been worrying the whole time. And so perhaps in light of the last few years, in spite of our life, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about how do we stop worrying and start living again. And to do that, we're going to go to the text that we read in the gospel today, that text in Matthew. It's the most awesome section of scripture on worrying that you can find. It not only gives us the problems with worrying, but it also gives us the solutions all in that one text. And so as we go to it, what does Jesus have to say about how in the world can we stop worrying? One of the first things he gives us is in verse 25, where Jesus says this. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink or your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than the food and the body more important than clothes? And so one of the first things that Jesus says here is that worry, don't worry, because it's unreasonable. It doesn't make sense. It's irrational. Jesus is saying there's so much more to life, right, than just worrying and clothing and all the things of this life. Because what does it matter what kind of car you're driving? Or what kind of clothes that you're wearing. or how much money you have or had in the stock market, or of how much salary that you make or you don't make if you don't have peace of mind. And isn't that the problem with worrying? And isn't that the problem with being overwhelmed, is that we go through life with this incredible stress? Remember back, 50 years, people could just sit in the backyard and just relax and listen to the radio and have fun. There just seemed to be a simpler lifestyle where you could just sit and do nothing and it was okay and nobody judged you. It was just part of what you did in the evening. Why do we consume ourselves with so much of the busy and so much of the worry? I think our problem is we so often get caught up in the externals of life. But we start forgetting about the eternals of life. We start living more and more for today and not as much for eternity. But Jesus is just saying here, if it's not going to last, if it's only temporary, then he says, why are you worrying about it? You don't need to worry about it because there's so much more to life than worry. In verse 26, he says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow and they don't reap and they don't store in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And see, why do you worry about your clothes? See the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't labor or spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. So Jesus says, first, don't worry because it's unreasonable. But now he says, don't worry because it's unnatural. He says, look at the birds. If anybody was on God's welfare rolls, isn't it the birds? All they do is they eat, fly around, sing a little bit, and poop on all our cars, right? That's what they do. But he says, look at the birds. And know that God takes care of them. And in verse 28, he gives us a botany lesson, doesn't he? He says, look at the flowers. Look at the intricate design and the complex beauty of the flowers. And know that God takes care of the flowers too. So he says, don't worry. The fact of the matter is that animals don't worry. And plants don't worry. In fact, there's only one thing in all of God's creation that worries at all, and that's us. That's human beings. Everything else trusts God. Everything else trusts God to take care of them. Worry is not natural. It may be natural for our sinful nature, but it's not the way that God made us to be. You weren't created that way. You weren't born that way. Rather, it's something that we've learned, we've picked up along the way, and it's something that we have to do a lot in order to become really good at it. Do we have any really good worriers in our congregation today? I bet we do. People that just obsess all the time about the next thing. But there's good news in that. The fact that we've learned it means it's something that we can unlearn as well. We can deprogram ourselves from, because worry is not a natural thing. Our bodies, for example, were not designed to handle all this worry. It's kind of evidence that this is not the way that God designed us in the first place. That's why when we worry, we have health problems. We get backaches and stomach aches and insomnia. I read this year that there will be 7.5 billion headaches in America. Seems like too many. Every day, Americans consume 15 tons of aspirin. Why? Because we worry. Because we get uptight. Because we try to control the uncontrollable. And if the papers are right, and if that generation series we did is right, then it's just getting worse. Verse 27, he continues, he says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? So the third thing that Jesus says here is that worry is just unhelpful. In other words, it doesn't work. It's useless. Worry cannot make me taller, and it cannot make me smaller. It cannot lengthen my life. In fact, what worry does is it tends to shorten my life. It ruins my life, and it makes me ill. Worry never moves you one inch closer to a solution. It's like the rocking chair I talked about a few weeks ago. Back and forth you go. You can even go as fast as you want in that rocking chair. The problem is it just never moves you forward. That's what worry is. The only thing that worry ever changes is you. It makes you more miserable. It consumes and wastes your time. Somebody said that worry is stewing without doing, because worry cannot change the past, and worrying cannot control the future, even though we try to control it with worry. All worry does is make us miserable today. And then God says, Jesus says, worry is unnecessary. In verse 30, he says, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Jesus says right here, you don't need to worry. It's completely unnecessary because God has promised to take care of you if we would but trust him. I heard a story of a little lady one time. She was walking down a dirt road, and she had this huge backpack on her back, and it was just weighing her down. You could see she was uncomfortable. And all of a sudden, a car pulls around, and he offers to give her a ride, so she gets in the car, and about 3 miles down the road, the guy's saying, you know, you could take off that backpack and put it in the back, of the truck. I mean, it looks pretty uncomfortable for you. And she said, oh, no, it's enough for you to give me a ride. I'll carry my own load. And you listen to that story, and you kind of think it's weird. Like, why would she do that? But I think so often that's the way we treat God. You get me to heaven, God. But right now I'll worry about the car payment and the house payment, about the kids and the braces and all the stuff that's going on in our life. You just get me to heaven, but you let me take care of everything else. But Jesus speaks into that. He says, I don't want you to worry. You don't have to worry. I've got you. You see, faith is a tricky thing, isn't it? It's not just to know the information. Faith is trusting the information, trusting the truth that we know, and then applying it to our lives. Faith is harder, right? And God says, I've got you. I'll help you. I'll take care of it. Verse 31, he continues, and so he says, so don't worry saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Your heavenly Father, though, knows that you need them. There's another thing. God knows exactly what we need because he created us. He designed us. And by the way, he walks every step of our lives with us. He knows what's going on in our lives, our ups and downs, our problems, our heartaches. He knows every single part of it, and he walks with it, sometimes carrying us through the difficult times. He knows what we need. And so he says, don't worry like the pagans do. Don't worry like somebody who doesn't believe. For not only is worry unreasonable and unnatural and unhelpful and unnecessary, worry is also unchristian. In other words, it's a sin. It goes against the very first commandment, for in worrying, what we find is that we're putting something else as more important than God. That's why we're worrying about it. He says non-believers, they probably have a right to worry, right? They're trying to make it through this world on their own effort. They're created by God for a purpose, but they go through life forgetting God and forgetting his purpose. He'd say, I'd probably worry too if I were them. But the Bible says that Christians are to be different, that we don't have to worry because we're trusting a heavenly Father who's got us, who promises to take care of us every step of the way. Yet how often do we act like God is totally unaware of the house payment that's coming up next week, or the carbs that broken down, or the two kids that are sick, or maybe that need braces, and the taxes that are coming around the corner, and the health issues that our spouse or that we have. We act as if it all depends upon us again and again and again. But that's acting like there's no such thing as God. Worry is assuming a responsibility that God never intended us to have. So he says, relax and let go. And trust me. You know, this is hard, isn't it, in our world today? It sounds like a great goal, but it doesn't seem like it's possible on this side of heaven. And yet God still calls out to us and he says, trust me, I've got you. You can stop worrying. And so if we're going to be like God in his character and his nature, if we're going to become the godly people that he's called us to be, he doesn't want us worrying. But the question comes back to the one at the beginning, how do we stop? And in this text, God actually gives us some of those answers as well. He gives us three steps, actually, and the first one's found in verse 33. Jesus says this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. So Jesus is saying here that the first step in overcoming worry, right, is to put God first in every area of our life. You see, worry is kind of an indication of mixed up values. Whenever I start worrying, it's kind of like a warning, like blinking red and light, you know, all going off and on, maybe some buzzers attached to it, whatever, saying that my priorities have gotten out of order, that something's got mixed up because I'm stopping trusting God and I'm starting to try to take it back and try to work it all out on myself. You're putting more value on something that's temporary than something that's going to be eternal. Notice back in verse 24, it says, no one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And so he's saying that every person eventually has to come to a point in their life where they answer the most important question in their life, and it's this: who or what am I going to live for? You see, everybody in existence worships a God. It may not be the Heavenly Father. It may be relationships. It may be money. It may be self. Maybe another God, a false idol. But everybody worships and lives for something. And so the most important question in life is, who or what are you going to serve? Because the answer to that question shows you who your master is. Because whatever you live for becomes your master. And so again, God says you can't serve two masters. If you want me to help you with worry, he says step one is to put me first in every area of your life. And if you do, I will bring everything else into focus. I will give you a perspective. I will give you promises to count on and to trust. All these other things will be added unto you, he says. But if you put those other things first, I'm out of the picture. Start worrying when God's out of the picture, because then you're out there all on your own. And then you get the stress, and then you get the worry, and then you get those feelings of being overwhelmed because you're trying to do everything without him. Then he goes to a second step in verse 34, and he says this, therefore, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Every day has enough trouble of its own. I love that because I think it's about as relevant as you can get. He's saying, live one day at a time. I always tell people, you are the elect today, right? You are God's chosen. You are God's elect today if you believe in Jesus Christ. And the wonderful part about that statement is you are always living in today. And if you always rejoice in the today of lives, you can let God deal with the tomorrows. Doesn't mean you don't plan. It doesn't mean you don't save. It doesn't mean you don't prepare. But you can let God deal with all the unknowns of tomorrow, and you can live in peace with today. Jesus says, don't open your umbrella before it starts raining. Don't start worrying before you get there. Why? Because the future, when you think about it, can be really overwhelming, and all the complexity and all the unknowns and all the things that could go wrong. And it gets you really stressed out when you start realizing how fast it's coming at you. Anybody raise kids? They don't stop growing, do they? They just keep going and going and going. I remember still holding my oldest, and now she's 16 and driving poorly. I have to keep working on that, right? It's freaking me out. But she keeps going. Another couple years, she'll be in college. My youngest is 10 years old. Nothing stops. And with nothing stopping, you keep wondering about the future. And you can't seem to control a lick of it. And so God designed the future to come at us in bite-sized chunks. It comes at you in 24-hour segments, one day at a time. It's kind of like the hourglass, only one goes through at a time. So you deal with one of your problems, because so wonderfully, that's usually the way God does it. He just gives us one problem to work on, and we work with that. And then another problem comes, because problems keep coming, and we deal with that. But in his mercy, he usually only gives us one or two big things at a time, and he lets us consume ourselves with those things mercifully without giving us everything else that could go wrong as well. Jesus says, don't worry. I didn't make you to be a worrywart. Instead, put me first in every area of your life. Deal with things one day at a time. And then the third thing, in verse 30, he says this, will not God take care of you? It's a unique question, isn't it? Challenging one. Won't he clothe you, O you of little faith? See, the root of all worry is a lack of faith. It's unbelief in the promises of God. And so the third step to overcoming worry is to trust God to care for the things that are beyond your control, which is a wonderful statement, because you know what? Most of life is beyond our control, so we might as well give it to him anyway. It'll make your life a whole lot easier if you let God be God and you be you. Trust God to care for the things that are beyond your control. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, cast all your anxieties upon the Lord. And the word cast in the Greek literally just means to let go of, to drop. I like that. If you've got a heavy load, you could put it down, and that would take a lot of effort, and you got to put it down just right, or if you drop it, you could break whatever it is. But with forgiveness, you just let it go. You just let it drop. It takes no effort to stop holding. You just stop holding it. And God says, let it go, let it drop. And so let me ask you, what is it that you need to cast upon the Lord today? What is it that you need to let go of that you've been holding on to? It's affecting your sleep, and it's affecting your day and your thoughts and all those things. What has you worried this morning that you need to stop? Talked about a whole bunch of things at the beginning. It could be the economy, your job, a personal problem, your marriage, your health, problem with friends, problem with family, problem at work. But whatever it is, I want you to know that Jesus Christ had made it possible for you today to cast all your worries upon Him. And know that through Him is all the power and the strength and the forgiveness that you will need to deal with whatever might come your way. And know that even when you fall short, even during the times where you two start to worry again, that because of Jesus, you're forgiven. And that because of Jesus, you are loved by an incredible God. And when you get there, and you've let it drop, and you've given it to God, I want you to experience the peace of God. And may His peace rest upon you always. And all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. God, we love You so much, and we are awesome warriors. And it seems like life gives us a ton of things to stress about. You can't turn on the news. I think they play on our worries, to be honest. Life comes at us in its different ways. We got family issues. We got money issues. We got future issues. We got all sorts of stuff that we're consuming ourselves with. And yet in Your word, You say, do not worry. I've got you. Father, in those words should change everything in our lives. We should be able to drop the worries and give them to You in that instant upon hearing that promise and trusting it. Father, give us the strength, maybe just the wisdom, maybe just the awareness in the middle of our struggles, in the middle of our worries, to give them to You time after time after time. And may You worry for us in the middle of life. And may You stress for us as we go through life. But Father, may You take these worries from us and give us instead peace. The peace that comes from knowing that You've got us. And we pray that today in Jesus' name and all God's people said, amen.